Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother, I am your servant in the Lord, I am Radio Reformer. And the number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call in, or for one of his staff members to call in And when I refer to Mr. J. Delano Ellis or one of his staff members, I'm referring to the Joint College of African American Bishops. That organization, which I contend, is leading many astray, and who is allowing the Roman Catholic Church to invade, corrupt, pervert the African American Church. Mr. J. Delano Ellis and his organization, the aforementioned Joint College of African American Bishops, has opened the door wide to the Whore of Babylon, to the great harlot of Revelation 17, the harlot church of Revelation 17. And J. Delano Ellis has opened the door wide and welcomed the harlot church of the Antichrist to come in and give the African American church a spiritual makeover. And so this is why we're contending for the faith. This is why we've done 71 propositions. Today we're presenting proposition number 72. And before the month is up, before September's up, we hope to have nearly all of the 95 theses done. We will definitely have it done before October 31st. But today we're in the studio to present proposition number 72. And I have been busy for quite a number of days. As you know, we write books. I write books, and we produce other programs. And we're doing a lot of things. We're doing a lot of things. And I'm way ahead of the game when it comes to these propositions. I have a very, very, very big cushion to get these done before October 31st, before the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. But here we are in studio today presenting proposition number 72, proposition number 72. And these propositions are important. Why are they important? Well, because by means of these propositions, we intend to show the errors of the Joint College of African American Bishops. This is one erroneous group led by its arch heretic. If you're the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the organization, if you are the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, if you are the Archbishop Metropolitan in English, you're the arch heretic of this group. You are the number one perverter, corrupter, scripture twister there is. Now, we've given Mr. J. Delano Ellis ample time to call this program. Since day one, if you listen to all of these propositions, we've done 71 programs. Each and every program, we have given out this number numerous times. Here it is again. The number, Mr. Ellis, for you to call is area code 646-564-9730. That's the number. That is the number. And proposition number 72 reads like this. Woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop. Woe to the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, for he has gone the way of Cain. He's gone the way of Cain. Woe to him. Woe, woe, woe. Woe to him. He's been put on notice. The word woe, the Greek word for woe, used here in Jude 11. Let me read to you Jude verse 11. It says, woe unto them. In this case, Jude is referring to the false teachers and the false prophets who were his contemporaries in the day in which Jude ministered the word, in the day in which Jude exercised his apostleship. There were false teachers. There were false prophets. And to them, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Jude said, Woe unto them, because first and foremost, they have gone the way of Cain. And so I use this scripture to say to Mr. J. Delano Ellis, woe unto you, sir. Woe unto you. For you have gone the way of Cain. That's my proposition. That's my argument today. Woe unto you, sir. Woe. 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 And the word woe speaks of divine indignation. God is mad with Archbishop Metropolitan J. Delano Ellis. And don't think for one moment, Mr. Archbishop Metropolitan, that you're going to hide behind your Roman Catholic title. Your Roman Catholic title will not shield you from the wrath of God. You, sir, have become an arch heretic. You, sir, are leading so many away from God. So many. And I'm going to develop this in the next 7 to 8 propositions. I'm going to take the biblical character of Cain, and I'm going to show how so like Cain is Archbishop Metropolitan J. Delano Ellis. So, Mr. Ellis, it would behoove you to call the broadcast. It would behoove you to debate. My obligation as a preacher of the gospel, as a defender of the faith, is to contend with you, is to defend the African-American church from you allowing the Roman Catholic Church to come in and give the African-American church a demonic makeover. For the Roman Catholic Church peddles nothing but the doctrines of men and the doctrines of demons. And you, sir, have become a stooge of Rome. Again, the number here is 646-564-9730. And I do hope that Mr. Ellis does call in. We are monitoring the switchboard in hopes that he will call. In hopes that he will say, here I am. Let's talk. Well, we're not going to hold our breath, even though our eyes will be glued to the switchboard to see if he or any one of his cowardly representatives musters the courage to call the broadcast after 71 propositions have been issued and there's been no counter response. Well. Again, the word woe. Jude, in speaking of the false teachers that would appear in the last days, he says they fit 3 stereotypes, Jude says. They look much like Cain. They have characteristics and elements of Cain. But they don't stop there. They have characteristics and elements of Balaam. And they don't stop there. They have characteristics and elements of Korah. They fit 3 general stereotypes. And since Mr. J. Delano Ellis is the arch-heretic, because he is the... In order for him to wear the hat of arch-heretic, that hat goes to the person who is the Metropolitan Archbishop. And Mr. J. Delano Ellis claims to be the Metropolitan Archbishop. And since he does claim that, and since he does function as that, and since he's one of the founding members of this apostate organization known as the Joint College of African American Bishops, he's the leader of this group. The other three men who started out with him, Archbishop Wilbur Sterling McKinley, he's passed away. Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, He's sick, and no one, few people hear from him. He's so sick. He hasn't been heard from in a long time. And the other one who is around, Paul Sylvester Morton, he retired. The only one still pushing this heretical agenda and still forming a tight league with Rome is the one and only J. Delano Ellis. And to him we say, woe be unto you, for you have gone the way of Cain. The problem is that he has not gone the way of Cain by himself. Following him is a whole group of retarded clergy. Because if you're a member of the Joint College of African American Bishops, I would argue that you are retarded. You need special ed. You need special education. You need to get on one of those little special buses and be taken to a special school to be taught. You need one-on-one help if you're a member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. That's my opinion. And it's proven to be so, because not one of them, not one of those who carry and wear the scarlet robes, as Mr. J. Delano Ellis says, not one of those scholars, not even the great J. Delano Ellis himself, has called in the broadcast, despite the fact that we keep giving out the number 646-564-9730. So woe to you, Mr. Ellis. Woe to you, sir. For as Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops, you, sir, have gone the way of Cain. Now, what is the way of Cain? What is the way of Cain? What is the way of Cain? And why woe? Why woe? Well, let me first deal with the fact that the word woe, W-O-E, again, in the Greek, as in the Hebrew, reflects divine indignation. If the indignation is of God. God is indignant. God is angry. God has had enough with these characters like Cain and Balaam and Korah. And the prophets arise. You see, the word woe, it happens to be a prophetic lamentation uttered repeatedly by Old Testament prophets, the Lord Jesus himself and his apostles, to condemn persons and nations. Let me repeat that. The word woe is a prophetic lamentation uttered repeatedly by the Old Testament prophets and even the Lord Jesus himself and his apostles, to condemn persons and nations. Now, we're not going to go through all of the passages where the word woe appears. I'm just going to give you three chapters. Two belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two of these chapters. Because I want to show you that even the loving Savior uttered his woes. Even love incarnate uttered his woes against hypocrites and false teachers and rebellious nations. In Matthew 11, verse 21, the Lord Jesus speaking says, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. You see, Jesus is speaking against these people. And he says, woe unto thee. Woe unto thee. And he draws a comparison. He says, you know, God judged Old Testament nations two cities that he judged was Tyre and Sidon, which made up the two main capitals of the Phoenician people. And God judged them, and it shall be more tolerable for them because I exposed you to more grace than I did them. Had they seen what I showed you, they would have repented. And to whom much is given, much is required. And since I gave you much and you did not respond in due course, it will be more tolerable for those cities who didn't see this exhibition of grace as you did. Whoa, 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 a prophetic lamentation uttered by the Lord himself. In Matthew 23, the Lord utters this woe seven times. Let's consider all seven times. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, nor suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Verse 14 is the second woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour widows' houses, widows' estates. And for a pretense you make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive a greater damnation. The third woe is found in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cover land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him a twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. In verse 23, we have the fourth woe. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes on mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which are judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave them undone. In verse 25, we have the fifth woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 27 is the sixth woe. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 29 is the seventh and last woe in this chapter. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, and you garnish their sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if it had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have partaken with the blood shedding of the prophets. You're hypocrites. You see, Jesus uttered seven woes. In Matthew 11:21, he uttered two woes against two nations, but here against these Pharisees and scribes, he uttered seven woes, seven prophetic lamentations uttered to denounce the wicked lives of pretenders. Now you're going to hear J. Delano Ellis talk about pretenders. You're going to hear him in a few minutes. You're going to hear J. Delano Ellis talk about pretenders, and I'll pull it up for you. And my dear brothers and sisters, Mr. Ellis refuses to call us. What do you make of that, dear saints of God? We keep giving him the number. We keep asking him to call in so that we can have a amicable dialogue. The number here is 646-564-9730, but Mr. Ellis doesn't call in. He just does not want to call in. Wonder why? I don't get it. I don't get it. If Mr. Ellis has two legitimate doctorates, why doesn't if he is to be a defender of the faith, why doesn't he call in? I'd like to know, and I think you would like to know. Now, here he is now, and you're going to see that he's going to mention the word pretender. A pretender is a hypocrite. A pretender is an actor. And it's coming up shortly. Let us listen. As he tells us what is the Joint College of African American Bishops.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. This was especially true in the African-American Pentecostal tradition. This is wrong on many levels, primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ and the upbuilding of his kingdom. We saw the need for providing training and tools for perfecting leadership with a view to the bishopric. The responsibility for both protecting the episcopacy and assuring it conforms to orthodoxy includes having some measure of watch care for weeding out the unsuitable and pretenders to the chair.
Another word for pretender or pretenders, plural, is hypocrites. An actor. An actor. But he's the biggest hypocrite. Because he doesn't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He serves his own ends, as Cain did. As Cain did. And I'm going to develop this. See, I'm going to stick with this Cain theme for several propositions that we're just gonna lay it out, and I'm gonna give Mr. Ellis the opportunity to call in because he's a present day Cain. He is a present day Cain. The number here, Mr. Ellis, is 646-564-9730. If you like to debate, next year you're gonna have your 25th anniversary. How about inviting Radio Reformer to debate you? Why not during your 25th anniversary, why not hammer out these 95 propositions that I presented to the Joint College? Why not hammer them out? Why not embarrass me? Why not give me a spanking in public? Why not? I'm calling you out, Mr. Ellis. Why don't we debate this next year at the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Joint College of African American Bishops? Why don't you take on my challenge? You can have your best scholars, the best minds from your organization, just take apart each one of these propositions, and then they can give you the notes, and then you can spank me in public. You can teach me a lesson. You can put me in my place. You can show how much of a fraud I am. Why don't you do that? Why don't you call us here at 646-564-9730? And to this point, we've not heard. The switchboard, there's not a number on the switchboard. There's not a number. Well, I just wanted to show you that he knows about the word pretender. The word pretender is akin to the word hypocrite. But here's another video in which this man claims to be the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, or the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College. And as the Metropolitan Archbishop, he serves as a road map. Woe to you, Mr. Ellis, for you have gone the way or the road map of Cain. Woe unto you, sir. Woe unto you, sir. But here he is. I want you to hear him call himself the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, which simply means arch-heretic. Arch-heretic. Main blasphemer is what that means.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth for Anglicanism. We may not impact the entire church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The Joint College is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African-American reformations that subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African-American heritage or experience, for example.
Now, listen to him closely, because he's going to talk about himself now. He's the leader. And in this video, he wants you to understand that he's the boss. He's the leader. Listen to him.
The office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college, because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
You see, his office isn't his office as Archbishop Metropolitan is intended to be a roadmap. So where is he leading you? Well, he's leading you back to Anglicanism. See, the first stop on the travel, he's taking you back to Anglicanism. He's taking you back to Anglicanism because he claims that he can trace his bishopric back to Great Britain under Augustine. But Augustine was set by Rome. So if Augustine was validated, now there are two different Augustines. We're not talking about Augustine of Hippo. We're not talking about Augustine of Hippo. We're not talking about the great theologian, Augustine. We're talking about the bishop, Augustine, the bishop who was sent to Great Britain from Rome. That's the Augustine, the Roman Augustine. That's the one we're talking about. So the Augustine, the theologian, was a third century scholar. The Augustine from which Mr. J. Delano Ellis traces his bishopric back to in England was a fifth century individual, two centuries later. The problem that Mr. J. Delano Ellis has is that fifth century Augustine, who was sent by Rome to establish the Anglican Church, or a branch of the Roman Catholic Church in England, was ordained by the Church of Rome. So whether you go back to Anglicanism, Anglicanism takes you back to Romanism. It's the same serpent. The same serpent. And the head of that serpent is Satan. It's the same head. So here he is talking about how he's a roadmap. Yes, 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 yes. Because he's a Cain. Every apostate generation going the wrong way needs a Cain. Because Cain is the leader. They, says Jude, have gone the way of Cain. Cain is the first apostate to establish a roadmap away from God. And that's what Mr. Ellis is. Woe to you, Mr. Ellis! For you have gone the way of Cain. You're an arch heretic. An arch heretic. An arch heretic. Now, I said to you that there are several scriptures. You have Matthew 11:21. We have Matthew 23, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29. The next scripture where woes appear, I said I would give you two from Jesus. I did Matthew 11 and Matthew 23. But the next woe appears in the book of Revelation. The next woe that I want to present to you, that is, appears in the book of Revelation. We're going to skip over Jude's woe. We've covered that one. But Revelation 18 is the chapter in which God destroys the Roman Catholic Church. At the beginning of this broadcast, we played a song for you. The song is entitled, Come Out of Her, My People. It's based on Revelation 18, verse 4. God is inviting all those caught up, all those sitting under the umbrella, the ecumenical umbrella of the Roman Catholic Church. God is calling all of those people who have been beguiled. He's calling them to come out. Thus it says in Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. The her being referred to is the harlot church. Come out of her, and who's in there? My people, God's people, have been led astray. And they find themselves fellowshipping with the harlot church. No thanks to men like J. Delano Ellis, who's opened the doors and has invited inside of the African-American church Anglicanism and Romanism. Again, Revelation 18:4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, that you receive not her plagues. Verse 8 says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Strong is the Lord God who does what? Judgeth her. Strong is the Lord God. Well. You see, my brothers and sisters, God is inviting us. God is inviting us to do what? To come out. 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 Revelation 18:10 says, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, or woe, woe, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Verse 16, you have the same language, saying, alas, alas, or woe, woe, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked in gold and precious stones and pearls. Verse 19 says, and they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For 1 hour she has been made desolate. You see the word alas, alas in verse 10, the word alas, alas in verse 16, the word alas, alas in verse 19 is the same word for woe. Woe! Woe. Jude, in his epistle, in the 11th verse, pronounces woes upon his godless contemporaries. And by so doing, tells them, informs them, that they are headed for destruction. The pronouncing of this woe in Jude 11 warns all of Jude's readers not to permit these godless men, these archbishop metropolitans, these arch hypocrites, it warns us not to let them lead us astray. What do you have to say, Mr. J. Delano Ellis? God will judge you, sir, because verse 11 begins with the woe. Woe to them. Woe to you and your like is what God says. Woe to you. And in the days to come, in the propositions to come, I will explain what is the way of Cain. I'll develop this whole notion of who is Cain and why Mr. J. Delano Ellis is much like Cain. We'll develop this. But at first, in this first proposition, it's a propositional warning, and we attach the warning to you. The warning has been connected to you. Why? Because the woe belongs to those who have gone the way of Cain. Now, whenever woes were pronounced in the Bible, whenever woes were pronounced, it's akin to sounding the shofar. The shofar is the shofar of judgment. The shofar is the shofar of warning. Here's the sound of the shofar, Mr. J. Delano Ellis. And every time you hear this trumpet being blown, it is a woe to you, sir. Judgment's coming, sir. The Lord Jesus is soon to return, and with him comes judgment. Judgment for who? Judgment for people like you with big titles.
For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college, because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
See, his office, his person, is intended to be a roadmap, but he's leading people away from God. Cain departed from the presence of the Lord, and he went and he built the city. A city who wanted nothing to do with God. Why? Because two can't walk together unless they agree. And Mr. J. Delano Ellis has the form of godliness, but he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the life source, which is God himself. Now, since there is a woe attached, a woe, the woe speaks of eternal judgment. So I have here a clip. It's not a very long clip, but it's a clip from one of the great Puritan divines, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, one of the great Puritan divines who saw the Pope and popery as the great Antichrist. This is from the great divine Thomas Brooks, author of many works, including Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. Here he has a clip entitled, But a Flea Bite, But a Flea Bite, But a Flea Bite. Listen to this, because he draws a contrast analysis between the affliction that the believer goes, the righteous believer, the righteous saint, the affliction that we go through in this life is but a flea bite compared to the suffering and the eternal woe that the ungodly will suffer in hell. Listen to this. It's a warning to you, Mr. J. Delano Ellis, in hopes that you will come out of her, that you will renounce your apostate ways, that you will come out of Rome before God judges her.
But a Flea Bite by Thomas Brooks. From The Mute Christian Under the Smarting Rod, or The Silent Soul with Sovereign Antidotes, 1659. I am the man who has seen affliction, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. Christian, your present afflictions are not great if compared with the afflictions and torments of many of the damned, who, when they were in this world, never sinned at so high a rate as you have done. There are many now in hell who never sinned against such clear light as you have done, nor against such special love as you have done, nor against such precious mercies as you have done. Certainly, there are many now a-roaring in everlasting burnings who never sinned as you have done. What are your present afflictions and troubles compared to the torments of the damned, whose torments are without intermission, without mitigation, numberless, bottomless, remediless, and endless? They have weeping served for the first course, a gnashing of teeth for the second course, and the gnawing worm for the third course, and the intolerable pain for the fourth course. Yet the pain of the body is the least part of their pain. The very soul of sorrow and pain is the soul's sorrow and pain. The everlasting alienation and separation from God is served for the fifth course. Ah, Christian, how can you seriously think on these things and not lay your hand upon your mouth, even when you're under the greatest temporal sufferings? Your sins have been far greater than many of those who are now in hell, and your great afflictions are but a flea bite compared to theirs. Therefore, hush your murmuring and be silent before the Lord. I was silent. I would not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Psalm 39, verse 9. Such is the splendor, the brightness, the glory, the happiness, and blessedness that are reserved for the saints in heaven, that had I all the tongues of men on earth and all the excellencies of the angels in heaven, yet I would not be able to conceive nor to express that vision of glory to you. That glory is inconceivable and inexpressible. It is best to be hastening there, that we may feel and enjoy that which we shall never be able to declare. All the troubles, afflictions, and sorrows of this life, in comparison with eternal happiness and blessedness, are to be considered as nothing. They are but as a speck of sand compared to the fathomless glories of heaven. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18.
There you have it, Mr. Ellis. It's time to reflect. It's time to reflect. God's about to serve you and your kind a five-course meal in the place called hell. Think about it, Mr. Ellis. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. My brothers and sisters, I'll be back in studio tomorrow, Sunday, for proposition number 73. You don't want to miss it. And Mr. Ellis, you don't want to miss it because I'll be talking about you. God bless you, saints. Love you in Jesus. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. We tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fail.